Good morning. You have some events in Torah which have a long enduring residual effect. The story which follows, the narratives which follow in Torah are forever reshaped and recontoured by that seminal event and in some cases catastrophic events, scarring events. And you see this in the beginning of our parsha, Parshas Achareinus. It introduces the Avodah of Yom Kippur with the scars of a previous episode. Achrei Moish Nei Bnei Aaron, the Kervasim Lefnei Hashem, Vayamusu. Nadav and Avihu came too close, the Kervasim Lefnei Hashem. And therefore the Torah here introduces Avodah Yom Kippur and the fact that at times you can come close. The Kohen Gadol may and must enter Lefnei Lefnim, the Torah says, well, bear in mind the balancing factor. The Nadav and Avihu story teaches us that generally we ought not draw too close. As Rashi says, drawing close to Hashem should not, but that degree of closeness entering Lefnei Lefnim should be special. The exceptions to the rule should have that aura. It's not something you do all the time. And at this point in Klal Yisrael's national journey, it's become apparent that we could be very prone in our drives for Kirvas Hashem to make this sort of thing routine. And in making the chibur, the connection, the intimacy overly routine, it's going to lose its meaning. Well, I want to present to you this morning a theory of mine, a thesis of mine, that the catastrophe of Nadav and Avihu really colors all of the parshias following Shemini leading up to our parsha of Achareinus. Because you recall the big picture, the panoramic perspective we have given to Sefer Vayikra. Remember before Pesach when we kind of dissected how parshas Vayikra, Tzav, the beginning of Shemini, are the halachas of the Karbanas, culminating with the eighth day of the Milum, the Karbanas of inauguration. And then you have the end of Shemini, Tazria Mitzayra, which are really the halachas of Tuma Tahara. The end of Shemini deals with the pure and impure animals. Tazria Mitzayra introduce Tzaras in its various forms. Zav, Keri, Nida, Zava, all the halachas of Tuma Tahara. And we explain that it makes sense that Kudshim and Tyrus are side by side. Because, and part of the greater Tyrus Kehanim of Sefer Vayikra. Because the halachs of Tuma Tyra determine how we interact with Kudshim. A tummy person may not eat Kudshim, may not enter Mikdash. So in a sense, Tuma Tahara are the halachs of Tuma Tahara are the regulations, the Zahiras, when you may interact with Kedusha. In a certain sense, I would argue, the halachas of Tuma Tahara are putting on the gvulim, the restrictions, right? Val yavi b'chalei salak kodesh. For all the lore of drawing close to Kedusha, you can't do it all the time. You're tamei, you have to wait, you have to engage in your Tahara process. Tuma Tahara are, in a certain sense, I would articulate it, if we look at kodshim / karbanas as midas hachesed, passion, drawing close, kirva, karbanas, right? Tuma Tahara, which imposes restrictions and rules, is Gvura, restrictions. And the correlation to the Nadav and Avihu debacle, when Lefi Madrei Gassam, they did not respect restraint sufficiently. The coming close itself, the possibility that they entered Shtuye Yayin under the influence, and other such things, right? It was a lack of respect for the gvura, the regulations, the respect, the space. And we've discussed in the past how this is a fundamental issue. Certainly in relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where for all our kirva, we can never lose sight of, this is a relationship, it's the melech and the aura of the melech, right? But it's even true in human relationship. It's all too commonly discussed today how the drive for kirva and chibur, and chiba, if it does not come with respect and a healthy giving of space, is choking and is not a healthy dynamic, right? This is a very basic tension in the world, in the relational world, right? So in a certain sense, kibbe yachal, right? The Nadav and Avihu debacle in Shmini is giving voice to this tension, the need for gvura, the need for restraint, respect, and space in relationship, especially to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm going to argue, when Parsha Shmini itself then immediately introduces the halachas of Tuma Tahara, and that Klal Yisrael as a whole needs to respect certain gvurim and rules and regulation when we draw close, right? That is really picking up on the Nadav and Avihu theme, right? Nadav and Avihu, the message of the Nadav and Avihu debacle. You need restraint, space, respect. And hence, Parsha Shemini itself now introduces an entire protocol of halachas of Tuma Tahara in Parshas. And the Shemini, Behemoth Tmeis, Behemoth Tahara, Tazria Mitzayra, which is about respecting space, gvura, restraint. And this thesis of mine is critical to explain the unit of Parsha Shemini as a whole. Right, we're learning the halachas of Kriyas HaTahara, and we're going to learn about how eventually Klal Yisrael adopts this minhag of Seder HaParashias on an annual cycle, and the unit of the Parashias that's embraced by Klal Yisrael have a kedusha to them. So there's a significance. It's the fact that Parsha Shemini consists of two parts. The beginning of Parsha Shemini is the story of the Miluim and Nadav and Avihu, the eighth day of the Miluim and Nadav and Avihu on one hand, and the end of Parsha Shemini is dealing with Behemoth Tmeis, Behemoth Tahara, introducing Tuma Tahara. And we've said that on a level of Pshat, we might have drawn the dividing line differently, the dividing line of Parshias differently. I probably would have argued on a level of Pshat that the beginning of Parsha Shemini, the eighth day of the Milum, is really connected to Tzav and the seventh days of the Milum. And I would have probably argued myself the end of Shemini, Behemoth Tmeis, Behemoth Tahara, is really the beginning of Tazria and the halachas of Tuma Tahara, which follow, right? As Rashi says, graduating from the Tahara of Behemoth Tmeis, Behemoth Tahara, to the Tahara of an Adam's Tumah, an Adam's Tahara, and Parshas Tazria. I probably would have, on a level of Pshat, driven a dividing line midpoint through Parsha Shemini and argued the beginning of Parsha Shemini, the eighth day of the Milum Nadav and Avihu story, is part of Tzav, and I would have said the end of Shemini is the beginning of Tazria. But yet, in the Mesira, a Seder was made, a unit was cobbled together of a Seder, of Parsha Shemini, bringing together the story of the Nadav and Avihu debacle on the eighth day of the Milum and the beginning of Behemoth Tmeis, Behemoth Tahara. I believe it's to mark this issue and this linkage that the Nadav and Avihu story brings to light the need for restraint and hence the Seder of Tuma Tahara, which follow, which is about introducing gvulim and respect bichlal. And it's very powerful then from this perspective that all of the halachas of Tuma Tahara, which follow the Nadav and Avihu story, the end of Shemini, Tazria, Mitzayra, really in a sense are post-Nadav and Avihu debacle narratives, right? And you hear the echo and the resonance in the text then. When the greater Tuma Tahara narrative comes to a close, Shemini Tazria Mitzayra, we're really part of a larger post-Nadav and Avihu story, which is why our Parsha Achremos speaks in terms of Achremos Shnei B'nai Aaron, as though it's recent, as though it just happened, right? Based on my thesis that all of these Parshas of Tuma Tahara were in a sense given as a response to the Nadav and Avihu debacle. The people have to be restraint and a healthy show of space. So the Nadav and Avihu story is writ large over all of these Parshas. It forms and contours all of these Parshas. So hence Parshas Achremos, this week's Parsha, Achremos Shnei B'nai Aaron, is continuing the post-Nadav and Avihu debacle thrust. I'll share with you a very precious, to me very precious, discovery in the text, really in Parsha Shemini, highlighting that the Nadav and Avihu story on one hand and the halachas of Tuma Tahara on the other are really one of the same, are linked in this issue of the need to show, give space, not choke, show respect, along with the drive for intimacy. If you scroll back to Parsha Shemini, and note the final pasuk in Parsha Shemini, when Behemoth Tmeis, Behemoth Tahoros, and the entire body of Tahoros is introduced. It says, "Lahavdil bein hatamei uvein hataro uvein achayu nachalas," which so unmistakably echoes of the pasuk in the very same Parsha, in the post-Nadav and Avihu debacle, when the Torah said, don't drink wine, don't worship under the influence like Nadav and Avihu. Ulahavdil bein hakodesh uvein hachol bein hatami uvein hatara. Do you hear the unmistakable echo in one parsha? Post Nadav and Avihu debacle, don't be shtuya yayin, ulahavdil bein hakodesh uvein hachol bein hatami uvein hatara. And then the same general expression in the famous Tanais, famous Torah, ulahavdil bein hatami uvein hatara bein hachay nachal uvein hachay shol yisrael. I believe that is the textual pattern here, which Chazal were clued into in Kabbalah and Shemini together as a parsha, and by extension, this greater panoramic perspective, the halachos of Tumat Torah are really driving home the post Nadav and Avihu debacle, shows restraint, covet, along with the drive for connection, and hence it's really one unified narrative leading into our parsha, Acharei Mais Shnei Bnei Aaron. Now let's bear in mind, now, when we talk about restraint and discipline, it's critical, right? But people have trouble with it. People have trouble with it. It's not exciting. Gvura and restraint, by definition, is not exciting. But it's so critical in every relationship, certainly in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm going to, again, underscore the words of Rashi in the beginning of this week's parsha. When Rashi says, the Ribono Shel Olam is saying, don't go in all the time to ensure that when it's appropriate to approach and grow in on Yom Kippur, it will be truly precious, right? I'm going to read the Metek Lashon of Rashi, right? Zokt Rashi. Ulefi shekili shchinasi sham in the Kodesh Kodashim, yizar Shalayargil lovi. It should not become habituated. Right? Rather, on Yom Kippur, it's not a habituated experience. It's something which is special. There's a general rule in life. It's not only true in Torah, it's true in Mili D'Alma as well. That anything which becomes routine and habituated isn't chashev anymore and isn't special anymore. On a different playground of life. When some in the liberal community have proposed that excellence shouldn't be celebrated anymore. Trophies or awards shouldn't be handed out for special behavior because it makes some children feel bad, right? And the response, or another proposal has been, why don't you give everyone, right? Why don't you say everyone is a star athlete? Everyone is a star academic. And there was an expression coined, something to the effect, right? If everyone is excellent, then nobody is excellent. Right? If you undermine specialness, then nothing is special anymore. If you don't have a concept of Havdalah, Havdalah, Kaddish, Obey, Nachal, then Kedusha loses its meaning. Right? I'm margish in the words of Rashi in the beginning of our parsha, introduces Yom Kippur and what's so Kaddish and special about that day of Kirvas Hashem and Aaron HaKayin on behalf of Klai Yisrael. We learn from the Nadav and Avihu story, don't lose restraint, it's really yargilavi. Rather, there's this special, poignant sense of uniqueness and kedusha. Now, based on my thesis, my chiddush, that the Nadav and Avihu chet, the debacle of Fimatri Gossam, drives home the struggle, right? To show restraint along with Kirva, Kirvasam of Nehashan. Right? And it gives rise, of course, to the question, what would have been if they weren't chayte? Right? Right? If the whole Seder HaParshias which follow are based on the chayt, right? We almost have this temptation to ask, what would have been, right? If in their Bechira, they wouldn't have entered. How would have the halachas of Tumat Torah been presented? How would have Yom Kippur been presented without Acharei Mais Shnei Bnei Aaron? Impossible to know. And obviously, Lefi Hashgachas Hashem, right, on some level, in the divine realm, you can't really ask that question, what would have been. But on the human level of Bechira, you could ask that question. In that regard, I really want to think about Chazal's drasha. When Chazal say, interpreting the pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh, that the Nadav and Avihu story was in a sense as though bound to happen all along, right? Klal Yisrael needed to learn this lesson, right? Chazal are interpreting both the pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh, but really, essentially, Moshe's message to Aaron in Parshas Shemini when he says, "Bekroi v'yakadosh, I become sanctified through those closest to me. When Klal Yisrael see that even those closest, even those who draw close and are the closest, suffer for the dereliction, certainly all of us. So Chazal are saying, Moshe said, Hashem told me this was bound to happen all the time, all along. Klal Yisrael needed the lesson. And as I said, Chazal draw this from a pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh, when it predicted the story of the Miluim, or the Ribono Sha'olam projected the story of the Miluim. And what did he say? He said, V'nikdashti b'chvaydi. When I appear in the Mishkan, I will become sanctified through my covet. And they read it, Al tekri b'chvaydi elo b'michubadai. Right? Not the pshat read. Hashem says, I will be sanctified through my covet, my shechina appearing, but I will be sanctified through, k'vaydi means michubadai, those who are my honorable ones, tzaddikim who die, and everyone will derive a kal v'chaymer. Ooh, right? If this happened to those who are most kaddish, certainly us, and in this context, certainly we need to learn to show restraint and their consequences for not showing restraint. So my question for you will be, does it really mean the chet of Nadav and Avihu was predestined? Right? Does it really mean that this nisayon of not showing gvura, not showing restraint and respect along with the drive for connection, is it a mistake which is bound to happen? In the realm of Bechira, certainly Nadav and Avihu had Bechira. And I'm going to argue based on Yisayon and Svarim HaKadoshim. Svarim HaKadoshim teach us that when a chet is predicted in Torah, b'derech hadrash, but not b'feirish, it means it wasn't necessarily destined to be. Right? Rav Gedalia Shor talks about this. Right? Citing from Svar. That when Chazal in Torah Sheval Peh derive ex post facto, you see a chet was always merumas b'derech hadrash. He says, you know, it's bedrash, it's merumas. It means it didn't have to be this way. Any pasuk in Torah can manifest itself in so many different ways. And people's bechira determine how it's going to manifest. For example, he talks about Chazal's drasha. B'yitzchak yikar l'chazar avalei kol Yitzchak. One of Yitzchak's children is going to make it, not all of them. And yet we know in Svarim HaKadoshim, Esav could have, would have, should have been mesugel to be koav with Yaakov. Right? So he talks about that. It's only a drasha b'yitzchak v'lei kol Yitzchak is the approach he cites. Right? There are other ways of reading Bi Yitzchak that isn't exclusive, and it could have been all the children of Yitzchak when Esav was Mevar himself, unfortunately, that he was not fit to be one of the others. Right? This drasha becomes streamlined. So I'm going to suggest the same thing here. When you read the original Pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh, right? V'nikdashti b'chvaydi. The literal reading of the Pasuk, I will be sanctified through my covet. Could have been Niskayim, could have been fulfilled. Let's say the Ribono Sha'olam would have revealed himself b'chvodo, and we would have just intuitively understood there's a right way to have a relationship to the Ribono Sha'olam. Close, intimate, but never losing sight he's the Ribono Sha'olam, and we need to respect him this way. We are close, but you'll forgive me for using the street expression, it's never bud-bud, right? Can't have that relationship with the Ribono Sha'olam and be related to him. If you think of the Ribono Sha'olam that way, he's no longer the Ribono Sha'olam, kiviyacha. Right? So, v'nikdashti b'chvaydi, I will be sanctified through my covet. If we would approach it straight, and b'derech ha'pshat, as the pshat of the pasuk is saying, if we would really see and appreciate a sense of covet, then there does not have to be any catastrophe. The fact that b'derech ha'drash, b'chvaydi had to become mechubadai, right, is the fact that pshat had to take on a drash connotation, what is pashat and simple had to become a drash, which means more complicated. That means sometimes we make simple truths more complicated than they have to be. Alikim asas adam yashar v'hem apikshu cheshbrenes rabim. Because we never learned this art of healthy respect for the Ribono Sha'olam, for another in the relationship, along with the drive for kiyuv and connection, right? That's why the lesson had to be learned in such a complicated way, and the entire tenor of Sefer Vayikra, which is a Sefer about Karbanos, Kirva, Adam Kiyakrif, what could have been a very straight process, and a realization, Kirva, of course, Kirva's done the right way, right? And you don't need this You don't need this inverse messaging, right? An einah striking down those who don't know respect. The focus in the halachas of tamatay rach remoshne b'nei aaron. It could have been smoother. And the, of course we understand what kirva is, right? Perhaps things could have been different. Could have been different. Again, from the perspective of our bechira, of course, everything was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan predestined, but I'm saying from the human perspective of bechira, right? Which is a message to us. A message to us. I think a very relevant message. So many relationships will be meaningful and beautiful and uncomplicated if we know how to show respect, right? Imagine how beautiful a parent-child relationship would be if everyone understands what it means to relate to a parent, who a child is, and it's uncomplicated. Everyone understands that it's a wholesome relationship. The need for discipline to become punishment and retribution and all that heavy-handed stuff which so often undercuts the wholesome relationship, right? That's unfortunate, right? Right? If an appropriate aura was created, which we suffer from in this age of chutzpah, but a parent's a parent, a child is a child, there's a wholesomeness to it. So when the gvura is in place, then the chesed, then it's just natural, it's nurturing. It's the more it's complicated, right? The more we're pulled in different directions. Love, discipline, as though there are two, right? Certainly in ishus and spousal relationships, it's this way. Respect, space is accepted. So when there's respect, so much tension is decreased. And then there could be all of the meaning and the cure for which everyone is seeking. This is a very unfortunate problem, right? The more the respect is innate, the more certainly like Gabriel Bershon does not make nasty bichvaidi, it happens straight. And we don't need kvaidi to become a chuvadai and the bekarei v'akadosh to take on a different form. And perhaps, and I'll conclude with this, perhaps the suggestion of mine that the Nadav and Aviyu catastrophe, which was the way we learned to show restraint and respect along with the drive for intimacy, the assertion that it could have been different, it could have been more innate and natural, perhaps this is reflected by one final echo back in Parsha Shmini, which I think about every year, and that is, when finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared on the eighth day of the Milum, Vayera Kvayd Hashem al Kol Ha'am, and the Torah tells us, how did this Kavod appear? What was this revelation of Kavod Hashem? Right? Vateitze Eish Milifnei Hashem Vateichla Al HaMizbeach, a fire came down from Shemayim and consumed the Karbanos. That is the Mara of Kvayd Hashem. Well, then when Nadav and Aviv and the Pesukim which followed, on Makar Veshara, the same thing happens Nachamo. Vateitze Eish Milifnei Hashem, a fire comes down and consumes them in retribution. It's an unmistakable, in quotes, coincidence, which is, of course, not a coincidence. The original Mara of Kavod Hashem was through a fire from Shemayim. The beautiful Mara of Kvayt Shemayim, consuming the Karpanos, was an Eish Min HaShemayim. And then the fire which Nebuch consumed and killed Nadav and Aviyu was through a divine spectacle of fire Min HaShemayim. I mean, these are not simply two different acts of the divine, but apparently they're one of the same. I'm going to suggest whatever the lesson was of the second Eish, retribution, wagging finger, don't draw too close, b'karei v'asam lefnei Hashem, could have been in the first Eish. That first Eish, which had no negative retribution connotations. An Eish came down and consumed the carbon. It was an Eish of carbon, right? But yet at the same time, an Eish, everything Eish connotes, Eish is the midah of gvura, the notion that there's in a karban, there's Gili Hashem, with healthy gvura and no retribution. Right? All of that lesson, which we unfortunately had to learn through a second fire of retribution, could have been in the first fire of authentic and pure pristine Gili Kvayt Hashem. Right? That is one way this pattern of the two Eishes, which could have been one, speaks to me. I'm hoping that this pattern, which I've traced in Sefer Vayikra, how the Netav and Avihu story is not isolated, but contours the parashias that follows. The Tumatara, which follows, the Achnu Mishne B'nei Aaron, which follows. It really tells us that this Sefer about Karbanos and the whole notion of Kirva, right, highlights and hones in on the notion how Kirva, the Kirvasan Lefnei Hashem, can't be at the expense of respect. And the unfortunate truth that when that authentic balance is not respected, the whole sefer, i.e., the whole study of Kirva changes. The whole right, this trajectory of the sefer of Karbanos, which changes, reflects that when there's not authenticity of respect along with intimacy, the whole rhythm of the process of not only the sefer of Kirva, Karbanos, but the experience of Kirva forever changes. May we all be zeicha to have the authentic balance of kirva with kavod, love, kirvas Hashem l'tov, the drive for connection, along with respect in a fashion that will bring a dveikus which is authentic, pure, pristine, and without the need for tension, retribution, and being pulled in different directions. Love, discipline, no, authentic, amen, Cain, Yehi, Ratzai.